This is the Overclocked Podcast, a weekly dose of video game music and conversation from OCRemix.org.
This week, we kick things off with a special album edition of the Intune interview with fellow podcaster Kyle Krause. Let our good friend Jason Napolitano fill us in on all the awesome stuff he's up to and question reality itself with this week's playlist.
Welcome back to our show, everyone. We're happy to have you. I'm Steven, one of your co-hosts.
Happy 23rd birthday, Steven.
Whoa, I've reversed age.
Well, episode 23rd birthday.
Okay.
I'm going to be 23 this year.
Oh, well, then that's special.
Exactly. I'm having a quarter-life crisis. Well, I guess that would assume I'm going to live to be, what, 80, 92?
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. Okay, I'm having a quarter-life crisis, Steven. What should I do with the rest of my life?
Well, I would consider playing Overwatch.
Okay. Okay, you definitely would. So you've been playing Overwatch recently. Overwatch released. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
What do you think of the music in it? That's the important question. Is it going to be remixed?
I believe so. I think that some Overwatch podcasts are already remixing it.
Oh, that's a good point.
In metal versions and stuff.
Of course.
But it's a really good theme song. It's just a superhero song. It's just like something you could hear from Spider-Man or Superman. Maybe
are
not
you just
Batman.
Gonna keep naming heroes?
Ant-Man, Ant-Man, Panther-Man, yep. Wonder-Man.
What?
All the mans. And women's.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's
but
neat.
Overwatch is super duper fun. However, let me tell you something a little relevant for this podcast.
I would appreciate relevant.
But it's also about Overwatch.
Okay.
Do you know who Lucio is? Or Lucio?
The name sounds familiar.
He is like the Jet Set Radio dude.
Oh, yeah, totally.
He skates around, has a boombox, and it's really cool because as you switch between healing and speed boosts, the music pumping out of his speakers changes.
Yes.
And it's just... Oh, it's so satisfying and rad. And
I played him in the beta. Do you know if other people hear your music based on proximity?
Yeah, they do. I'm almost positive.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it is really, really cool.
For me, I haven't really been playing any games recently, but I have been continuing my trek through the Final Fantasy soundtracks. I've been giving Final Fantasy IX a couple of listens.
Well, it deserves a couple of listens. I like it a lot.
Oh, yeah. Final Fantasy IX is probably one of my favorite soundtracks from the series.
It's cool. It's like a mixture of whimsy and folksy,
yeah,
with a lot of sentimentality thrown into the middle of
it. It's also got a more sentimental and serious side to it than some of the other soundtracks. So, yeah, it feels
I don't know
heartfelt.
If it's more serious than other soundtracks.
Yeah, maybe serious is the wrong word. I go back to like heartfelt and emotion filled.
Yeah.
It's not just all, you know, happy emotions, though. Like when it's sentimental, I'm not just saying it's all, you know,
it's ponderous and you know, sometimes it's just a little sad.
Yeah.
Even the theme is very bittersweet. And I mean the pop song theme.
Yeah, and they use that motif a lot throughout a lot of the tracks, which I think is interesting.
Yeah. Enjoy it, because this is, as far as I know, the last mainline Final Fantasy game scored by Uematsu as his own project. And
I believe so.
To catch everyone up on where I am, I'll probably tweet about this soon, but I just finished 12.
Okay, did you like it more?
It's never going to be the same.
Okay.
I mean, my short version of my opinion, 10 is struggling to sound like Final Fantasy while moving in a very awkward, boring new direction.
Yeah.
11 is very nice, but is completely hit or miss.
Right.
And 12 is pleasant to listen to film score music that cannot carry a tune.
Interesting. Well, I'll look forward to checking the rest out. I'm probably going to move on to 10 pretty soon here, but you don't have me too excited about that.
No, but I have high hopes for 13.
Okay. Yeah. 13's cool from what I've heard from it.
So before we move on to the show, if you want to add me on battle.net, I'm Emblem 180, and then it's number 1675. That's Emblem 180, 1675. Let's play Overwatch.
Okay, speaking of over, let's do the remix rewind for the last week of Overclocked Remixes.
Tough times? Take a breath. Don't worry so much. And as Yoshi Blade's Pilot Wings remix is titled, hang in there. It's a low-key, low-stress glide through the sky. And thanks to Tiger Master's masterful mastering, it goes down smooth.
Having just finished my first listen through of Final Fantasy IX, Avaruncus's orchestral exploration of the classic soundtrack left me particularly impressed. This lengthy and varied piece travels the emotional spectrum of dissolution and belonging, moving between a myriad of sources with graceful elegance.
It's been 10 years since OCR hosted a Guardian Legend arrangement, and from the looks of things, Platonist's remix has been in development for just about as long. Okay, that's somewhat exaggerated, but in Platonist's own words, so is Myria's Ascent, a trippy exploration of groove and gravity that keeps getting crazier. So apparently a Mega Man X2 inspired Rickroll Step remix exists. Rick Astley may be thoroughly vocoded in this heavy electronic remix from Jordo, but his unmistakable presence is there nonetheless. Don't let that little piece of trivia distract you from the pounding pace and smooth transitions throughout this snazzy track. We'll be right back.
hear these remixes and more, head over to ocremix.org. All right, and welcome to the InTune interview. I'm being joined today by Kyle Kraus from the KNGI Network. Hey, Kyle, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm doing great. I'm finally back doing an interview. This time it was Steven who got lost somewhere in Africa. We haven't heard from him in a long time.
Wow.
But last I heard, he was trekking along with Sully and is looking for an ancient artifact. So he'll hopefully be back soon. Why don't you go ahead and just introduce yourself real quick and let us know what this KNGI network is.
Well, I am Kyle JCRB, Kyle Kraus, as you introduced me. I am the founder and administrator, as I suppose, of the KNGI network, which is a network of video game podcasts, mostly focused on video game music. Not too dissimilar from your network, Whales or Whales. We also do video game discussion. We have some shows focused on that. We have shows focused on maybe sort of the greater pop culture discussion, comic books, things like that. But most of the focus is sort of on music, especially of the video game variety.
Nice. And when were you the founder of this as well as the administrator, did you say?
Right. Yeah, I was.
Nice. When did you start it?
I started my own show, Nitro Game Injection, which is the sort of flagship show, I guess, even though it's been off the air for a while.
But hence the NGI.
Right. But I originally started that back in March 2003.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
you've been a long time podcaster.
Yeah, it is one of the... I hesitate to call it the oldest video game music show
it's out there,
but it may very well be one of them. It was inspired by some of the college radio broadcasts of video game music that were going on at the time, like Super Radio X. Super Radio X was a really big thing on the Overclocked Remix forums back in 2002.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's how I kind of heard about it. And then through some friends that I made, namely Species 8472, which is, you know, one of those...
That's a great thing about the video game music scene, is these names.
Yeah, one of those interesting names that you hear about.
Yeah.
He kind of helped me, show me the ropes on how to start broadcasting online.
Right.
And that's kind of how I got that started. So back in March of 2003 is when I started Nitro Game Injection.
So you're almost as old as OC Remix itself. You go back a while.
Yeah, awesome. I discovered OCR in like 2001. So,
oh, man.
So
you were there early.
About maybe a year and a half after it started.
You were back when it was all electronic music and Sonic remixes.
first
good old days.
Yeah, back when Jive Master was the hotness. He still
That's
is.
That's right.
He still is the hotness as far as I'm concerned. But yeah.
But now he has more hotness competition.
Yeah.
Well, that is pretty rad. But we have you here today, not just for your network, but because you actually have worked with Overclocked Remix in the past. You have done an album collaboration before.
Right. I've actually done three album collaborations.
Yes,
I've directed three albums. Yeah,
three albums before, and you came up with the idea, which I loved, of doing an interview focused on one of the OCR albums. And that's actually an idea I really look forward to doing in the future as well, because we've done InTune interviews about individual songs, but the idea of doing an InTune interview about all the different albums out there is fantastic. And the one you suggested was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles album Shellshocked.
Yeah, covering Turtles in Time and Hyperstone Heist.
I did not play many of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles games. I did play on Xbox Live Arcade, they released like the original arcade game.
Yeah.
And I played that. And that was like, it's way more fun than it has any right to be.
Turtles in Time is actually a direct sequel to that game.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
Yes. I think they made like a remake of that or something that I played a little bit of. But
we don't talk about that.
Yeah, exactly. I got the feeling I was not experiencing it as I should.
No. The music is completely different, and it is just... It's very just generic and really not worth talking about. That's kind of my feeling on it. It's like,
okay, we'll pretend that I never mentioned
it's
that.
Okay. It's okay.
Before we go into this album in particular, though, I'm curious, when did you first start working with OC Remix?
Well, I was a fan of OCR, like I mentioned, when I discovered it back in around 2001. In 2002, 2003-ish, I sort of discovered that the site actually had a forum. which it took me a little while to figure that out. It took me introducing a friend of mine to OCR and having them join the forum for me to figure out there's a forum here? I didn't realize.
Well, believe
that.
Me, I feel your pain. People on the staff are still discovering they have a podcast now.
Yeah, yeah. So. That's pretty hilarious.
Sometimes
actually.
It takes a little while.
Yeah. That's funny. But yeah, once I discovered that there was a forum, I just kind of got sucked into it and
okay.
really kind of started digging in hardcore, and then discovered Super Radio X via the forums. And then from there, it just kind of blew up into doing my own video game right. music show and gaining a little bit of a following, and then
mm-hmm.
sort of keeping it going from there. And then in 2005 is when I decided that it would be fun to do an album with a friend of mine, actually, a friend of mine, Aaliyah Baker, Kariji mm-hmm. Lee. We sort of joined forces and each co-directed an album focusing on the Tales of series, which was two games at the time. Tales,
two games.
Yeah.
It was what, Symphonia and...
And Fantasia, yeah.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Summoning of Spirits, which was a great learning experience and not something I necessarily want to repeat in scope ever again. That was four discs of insanity.
Well, you went four. Geez.
Yeah. That was a little crazy. And there were certain things. There were definitely certain things about that album where I would probably go back and rethink. But overall, I'm mostly pleased with how it came out, but there are definitely a few little things where I'm just like, yeah, maybe not.
What is the process, at least for you, for putting an album together? You've done a few at this point. Like, does it just start with the idea, and where does it go from there?
The second album I did was for Super Dodgeball, and I didn't right. start that album, actually.
Oh.
That was started by another friend of mine named Wallen, and it kind of sat sort of in development hell for for a number of years.
Right.
And Wallen, you know, he's a good friend, and I wanted to help him out, so I sort of stepped on board after I was done with Summoning of Spirits and was like, all right, let's see if we can get this thing done. And I was just really happy with the way that album turned out.
So, like, what's the process like for you? Because I don't know. Are you a musician? Do you contribute any tracks? Or do you purely do the collaborative pulling the community
together? I am not a musician.
Okay.
Like, not at all. I have dabbled in music here and there, but I am in no way a musician. So my process has kind of been, like, basically recruiting musicians, finding musicians, finding people who are excited about the project, or finding people who are just interested in contributing and working it out from there.
When you're an album director, what all does that entail? Because I see different people heading up albums, but I'm curious, like, is it mostly coordinating and getting in touch with different artists? Do you give them deadlines? Or, like, how do you go about that kind of administrative side?
It's really all of that. It's wrangling. It's sort of, you know, kind of herding in a way.
Right.
Maybe not necessarily herding cats, but pretty close.
Right. Yeah, because it's all very busy people doing creative work on their off time, typically.
Right. And it's a lot of fun, actually. I enjoy the process, even though it does, for me at least, it does take a while. Mm-hmm. I've never had an album take less than 2 years.
Right. Wow.
Some people I know can crank out albums, can manage to get albums cranked mm-hmm. out pretty quickly, and I guess I'm just not really one of those people.
Especially when you're drawing for so many different people, even one person is like, you know, out of it for a little while, then you're kind of stuck. But
oh yeah, I've had that a few times where I've had to be like, okay, if you're not really interested in contributing, then I'm afraid you're gonna have to go.
Right.
So
that's part of being a director. You got to make some of the tough decisions.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so why don't you let us know a little bit about Shellshocked in particular. How'd this one get a start?
Shellshocked is my third album, and so far last one, released in 2014. I originally started it purely out of, a vanity.
Okay.
I wanted to make a rock album.
Oh.
That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to just make something that flat out rocked.
So was your, at the little list, was just the first name on the list Sixto?
Yeah. Just about. Just, yeah. Actually, I think, let me think back. Who's the first person I talked to? I think it was Sixto.
Of course. If I was making a rock album, that would be my
yeah,
choice.
I think I pretty much started with Sixto and, yeah, kind of. It was a short. It was a pretty short list,
right? So, what about a rock album to you was important?
I just wanted something that was really high energy and just something really exciting. And a lot of people, when they think of OCR, they don't necessarily immediately gravitate toward rock. There's always been sort of the stigma of OCR is all about electronic music or, you know, dance music, EDM, techno, LOL, whatever. It's always been kind of this thing where I'm just like, eh, all right, it's completely untrue.
Right.
It's absolutely 100% untrue.
Like many stereotypes.
So this was sort of a vanity project, first of all, to do a rock album and to prove that OCR, in fact, does do rock albums.
Nice.
And does rock.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. There's some fantastic rock artists in OCR. So.
Oh yeah, there hasn't always been, but it is.
They've gathered.
It is, yeah, it's Dwelling of Duels actually is where I give a lot of credit to for sort of.
That's what I was thinking.
Bringing together a lot of the rocking guys and also the advent of cheaper studio equipment for the home.
So yeah.
Rather than just professional level studio equipment, all this consumer level studio equipment. The quality has just gotten better and cheaper as time has gone on, so it's made it a lot easier.
Like super good virtual amps for cheap. You literally plug your guitar into your PC and you have rock sound, and it's a big difference over having to buy and mic up amps. So
yeah,
I guess that really would open the doors. So it was genre first for you, and then you decided to match Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to that rock idea?
It was kind of always went hand in hand for me. I was like, after I finished Around the World, I was thinking, okay, what kind of album do I want to do?
Mm-hmm.
100% just me directing it. The one thing I thought of was like, okay, a rock album. Okay, a rock album. Ninja Turtles. Okay, that works. Turtles in Time was kind of a game I grew up with.
Right.
It was sort of my introduction to the Turtles in a positive light because I actually didn't really care too much for the cartoon.
Yeah, I got with
you. At the time. I mean, not... I was just a weird kid, and I was just like, it's not Sonic, it's not Mario, I don't really want it.
Yeah, I can relate.
I don't know, it was just something kind of like, weirdly, I wasn't into the violence of it or whatever, but now I'm just like, yeah, all right, violence. Yeah.
You grew out of
I'm
that.
Into it, but back then I was just kind of like, eh, I'm not really liking it. I want to play Mario and Sonic, and that's pretty much it. So
yeah.
But then a friend brought over... Turtles in Time for the Super Nintendo, and I was just blown away by everything about it. I was just like, okay, I can get into this Turtles thing, I think, maybe a little bit. So.
Nice.
It was never a huge thing for me back when I was a kid, but I think now I'm a lot more into the Turtles for sure, and Turtles in Time is a lot of the reason for that.
So what would you say defines this album particularly? Would you say it's the rock thing? Is that kind of what ended up being the core of it for you?
I think it's the variety of styles, even though it is a rock album.
Oh, that's interesting. So like what other kind of styles?
We've got, you know, we've got sort of a punk style going on with the Dusk's tracks.
Mm-hmm.
and prog rock, like Monobrow's track.
Yeah.
She doesn't really do like outright guitar rock,
mm-hmm.
but she brought forth a really cool sort of synth-inspired track, sort of inspired by The Who.
Oh, interesting.
In a lot of the synth work in that, and she brought that forth. And I thought that was a really good way to also depart Sewer Surfing away from Zircon and Sixto's version that was already on OCR.
The moment I heard the melody, that version popped in my head. Like, for me, that's like the version of that song. So, like, yeah. When I heard that again, I'm like, oh, this is that Sixto song. And I'm like, oh, no, wait, it's the Teenage Ninja Turtles song.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is an incredible version.
Right. So you can't just compete collab. With it with another rock song. You kind of need to
right.
do
it. That is kind of my thinking. That I was makes like, sense. Okay, what can I do? What can I do with this? What can I get on this? And then Monobra actually came to me and said she wanted to do it. And I'm like, all right, I think that would be a good different way to go with it. So yeah. It worked out.
Another style I really noticed was blues. I thought there was a lot of blues influence.
Blues is a big influence on the original soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
So it really pokes through a lot here.
Yes, absolutely. And sometimes extremely overtly, but even in smaller ways in a lot of the songs, I was really getting that vibe to it.
Yeah, a lot of the songs are based on the cartoon theme song.
Mm-hmm. If you listen I noticed to, that. Yes.
If you listen to the original soundtrack, you'll notice a lot of the cues are directly from the cartoon theme.
Right.
And it's just kind of cool how they did that.
Yeah, I appreciate like the use of motif there very consistently, which is nice. And that song is endearing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool. So what for you would you say was the most exciting part of this project, like in terms of the track list and all that? Was there anything that particularly was a surprise to you or was really interesting?
Okay. Well, actually, I have a story about
that. All right, go for it.
Because it's funny because Prince of Darkness,
uh-huh.
Tony Dickinson, who did Casio Pizza versus TMNT Square, he remixed Knight Riders. First of all, Prince of Darkness wasn't originally going to be on the album. He was one of the guys on my short list who I originally contacted and reached out to when I first started it. But you know how sometimes these things go when you're directing albums. When you reach out to an artist, sometimes they may never respond.
Yeah.
Either they never respond or they're not interested or whatever.
Right.
Tony, he never responded. So I just kind of, you know, you write it off, you move on, you go mm-hmm. on to the next one and whatever. So as I was going along with this album and as all of these awesome people were coming together to contribute to it, one of those people was Snappleman.
Oh, yeah.
And he picked up, he originally picked up Neon Knight Riders to remix it. I think he was having computer problems or equipment, some sort of equipment problems where he couldn't quite get it done.
Mm-hmm.
What he did... And it's funny because he didn't talk to me.
Uh-huh.
He just did it. He's just like, yeah, I talked to Tony. Tony will do it. And I'm like, all right. If it had been anyone except Snappleman getting Prince of Darkness on board, I'd have been like, all right. But it, since it was switching over to that, I'm like, yes, I am completely 100% on board with this.
Nice.
And that ended up being, I would say, just based on the reactions online after the album was released, that ended up being one of the main standout tracks.
Right.
And for good reason, because Prince of Darkness is amazing, and I was really happy to get something inspired by jazz fusion bands like T-Square and Cassiopeia, hence the name.
Right.
It's a pun on those two on those two bands. T-Square is one of my favorite bands of all time, so just the fact that I was able to get him to do something T-Square inspired for this album is amazing.
Okay, here's something I'm very curious about, though, is that last track, the live at the Big Apple Blues Fest, how did that idea come about? Because I thought that was really interesting.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the Big Apple Blues Fest, it's the Shell Shockers!
Well, the idea to get me in there is sort of the MC hype man type thing. That was my idea. The idea was originally Tubers McGee's idea. He took that track, I think he claimed that track originally, wanted to do something really cool with it, and I think we discussed it for a while, and we came up with that idea of sort of trading off solos between other artists on the album. And then he directed a mini project, essentially.
Yeah.
And sort of gathered up artists to contribute.
Super cool to hear everyone's different style. So many artists that I recognized. I also really appreciated that Will Rock just did a synth solo.
Oh yeah, that was the amazing. Whole point. Yeah, everyone else was like guitar,
just
guitar,
Will Rock
guitar,
and Rexy. And Rexy got her piano.
Will Rock, yeah, Rexy did a piano. Rexy did actually. It's funny because Rexy's solo is directly ripped from a Super Dodgeball song, calling back to. When I previously directed the Super Dodgeball.
That's amazing.
Album, that's the thing. That's one of the really cool things about Rexy is she works in all these really cool cameos.
I noticed that
too.
Yeah, we talked to her once about a Rystar song, and she did the same thing of like pulling out a bunch of different sources.
Yeah, I remember that show actually. Yeah, that was a really good
discussion. That was super fun. I hope to have her on again sometime. So yeah, I think the last thing I'm curious about here is when you're working with this many different genres and this many different tracks, when it comes to like doling them out to the artists, how does that work? Do artists just pick what they want? You let them choose a style? Are you often offering them critique and giving them certain genres they should fit within? Or do you mostly just leave it up to the artist to have creative freedom?
For this album, a lot of it was like, I just told them I want this to be a rock album. So I gravitated toward artists that rocked to begin with normally, who normally do rock and who maybe either don't break out of that too much or just that's just kind of how they normally roll. So I sort of gravitated toward artists who did that. I also had some new people who jumped on board that I hadn't really talked to before, like Tubers McGee. he actually came on board when I put out a call for more people, because there were points where I wasn't able to necessarily find someone who was interested in filling a slot for maybe a song that is less desirable, like the two-player winning theme. after you win in two-player mode, it's kind of like, nobody's really too interested in that, because nobody played the two-player mode right. In Turtles in Time, first of all. But Tubers McGee came in and picked it up and did a really rocking job with it. All right. So
fantastic.
But that's one of the guys who came on board. I think Monobrow actually was another one who came to me.
Right.
So there were a few people who kind of came to me with concepts or ideas, and I was like, yeah, I'm into that. And I did offer critique where it was warranted and here and there. And I like to think my critique has gotten better since Summoning of Spirits. But I mean, that's up for
we'll pull the artists
to receive the critique to decide. Yeah. yes.
Fantastic. Well, that's about covers what I was curious about. Anything else you want to add before we close out here?
No, I don't think so, really. I mean, I hope the album's been out for a couple of years now, but I'm still really proud of it, and I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
Really enjoyed putting it together.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed listening through it. I'd actually missed this one the first time through because I didn't play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so it wasn't on my kind of list to download from games I knew, but I went back to it, and it was just, I had such a good time listening to it the whole time, because like you said, it's got such a fun and energetic vibe to it. I highly encourage everyone listening to check out the show notes. We'll link it in there, and give this a download. It's free, like all OCR albums, or the vast majority of them. I think there were a couple that went on sale, and check it out. So thank you, Kyle, for your time. This has been awesome.
All right. Thank you, Brian. It has been great.
And before you head out, one last time, can you plug where people can find you and your stuff on the internet?
You can find what I'm doing with the KNGI Network over at KNGI.org, or you can follow me on Twitter at KyleJCRB, and over there I kind of have the latest KNGI updates. They automatically get posted over there, and you can interact with me. I'm over there doing some stuff, so if you want to hang out, that's cool. I'm not working on any other albums yet, but I'm kind of hoping to maybe do like an EP or something eventually one of these days. Just something short.
That would be cool.
So to just do that. And probably Sega related, because it's been a long time coming. I really need to get on that.
I am completely in favor of this.
Nice, yes. You should be, because it's going to be cool. My plans, nice. My ideas, these things I'm thinking
of. Is it going to be an all bass fishing EP?
That'd be nice, but no. No.
Let's see. I guess I'll have to do that one myself.
How many Sega Bass Fishing games were there? Just one?
Well, there was Sega Bass Fishing, and then there was Sega Bass Fishing 2, and then there was like Sega Marine Fishing or something.
Okay.
There's some spin-off.
I was thinking.
So yeah, there were at least three.
Okay, well, that could work.
It's you got some to work from. So.
No, maybe I'll just do like a Daytona album that I've been threatening to do for years.
That would be good. I recently found a video of, I believe, the original singer doing a live studio version of the Daytona theme song.
Yeah, Takanobu Mitsuyoshi is a legend and an amazing composer. And that is no hyperbole.
I don't think I've ever seen someone that happy to be doing music before.
He is a great man.
It is a treasure.
Yes.
all right. Well, I won't take up any more of your time, Kyle. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian.
And we will head back to the show.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Solo Track is back. And this edition focuses on Scarlet Moon Productions, a video game music triple threat run by Jason Napolitano. Each arm of the company tackles something different. Scarlet Moon Promotions is there for game audio PR, Scarlet Moon Artists helps to find talent for developers, and Scarlet Moon Records produces soundtracks that otherwise might never hit the market. For the whole story, here's Jason.
My name is Jason Napolitano. I am the owner of Scarlet Moon Productions, which is a three-armed company that does game music PR. It's a game music record label, and we're a video game music artist group. I started going to E3. It was probably like 2005, 2006-ish, so about 10 years ago, and wanted to do more than just game reviews and press release postings. And they weren't really supportive of that. They was really just existing for that sole purpose. So I started writing about video game music, and then a friend of mine, Dale North, and I co-founded this nerdy music blog called Original Sound Version. It's still around today. What ended up happening was Dale was also writing for Destructoid. He was promoted to editor-in-chief, and he said, why don't you be the music editor for Destructoid? And, you know, over the years, I had met a bunch of composers just because I wanted to interview them. I wanted to write about their music. And so over those years, I made a lot of contacts, and those people would come to me and say, hey, I have the soundtrack I wrote. The company isn't interested in putting out a soundtrack release, but if I send you the music, would you be interested in listening to it and writing about it? And I would do that. And then I would have them come and ask, you know, hey, is there someone who does game music kind of oriented PR? Or, you know, is there someone who is an agent for game composers to find them work in the game industry? How else can I help these guys? You know, how can I take what I love writing about game music and apply that in a way to help these guys and, you know, make a business out of it?
Jason's first thought went straight to PR, which formed the basis for category number one, Scarlet Moon Promotions.
You know, there's a lot of composers who are doing big stuff that need PR, and maybe they have big budgets to pay big PR firms, but, you know, how about if I'm working for the little guys to do, you know, small PR outreach campaigns? So I started building a list, and that was kind of the first arm of the company.
Next came the music itself, and how to get it out the door and into our ears, namely Scarlet Moon Records.
When the composers that I mentioned before had sent me music that hadn't been released and I reviewed it and loved it, I said, well, why don't I go back and find some of that stuff that I had reviewed that never got a soundtrack release and look into actually publishing it. So that's how Saturday Morning RPG by Vince DiCola and Kenny Meredith came about, and Monarch Heroes of a New Age, which is a Korean MMO soundtrack by Gooman Nam. Those are things I had reviewed as a writer that I came back and released to the public because they weren't available to the public.
Lastly, Jason walks us through the part of the company that deals with talent and the finding of said talent, Scarlet Moon Artists.
The third arm was, again, it spawned out of the composers coming and saying, is there someone who acts as an agent for composers? And, you know, I'd kind of had people tell me in the past, like, oh, you should totally represent composers. You should work your industry contacts and you know, apply it to getting these guys work and, you know, roll up to E3 with all these Japanese composers, and wouldn't that be cool, and da 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 da. So I thought, well, you know, maybe I could actually do this. So I reached out to a bunch of composers who were friends that I'd been working with, you know, on writing about their stuff and keeping in touch regularly, and that's how Scarlet Moon Artists came about. And that's really about developer relations and reaching out to people who are making games, and also just being a conduit for, you know, somebody wants a specific sound by composer X, you know, where you'd let them know that sound is available to them and it's not so out of reach and they don't have to speak Japanese. And that's kind of where that's come from.
So who exactly would be interested in Scarlet Moon Productions and why? Jason's answer:
just the casual person who comes to OCR and listens to game music is probably going to be most interested in the record label activities, unless they are one of the 2,000 to 3,000 remixers who have been, you know, on OCR and they're releasing music. Then the PR might be of interest to them in spreading the word about what it is they're releasing or doing. And then the artist group, obviously, it's completely different. The audience for that is developers. And talking to them about what our composers offer.
Scarlet Moon Productions is a really interesting, not to mention versatile, force in the video game music scene. So we totally recommend giving it a closer look, professionally or otherwise. Jason finishes up with a few ways to do that.
So if people want to get in touch, you know, my email's prominently on every page of the website. It's scarletmoonproductions.com. And it's Jason, Jason, at scarletmoonproductions.com. And then we have social media channels. It's scarletmoon_ on Twitter. We have a Facebook fan page, Scarlet Moon Productions. We're on YouTube, where we have samples of all the Prescription for Sleep stuff and some videos of the performers doing some improv stuff with music from that. And then we also have a SoundCloud channel that you can check out some other samples too. So there's stuff everywhere for people to check out.
like this, this, like that, like that, that. I like it, I like it.
I want to play Overwatch.
Okay, we should probably end this now.
A good idea.
But before we go, I will inform you that you can find all things OC Remix on ocremix.org. If you want to visit the forums, check out more remixes, see the albums that have been released, or just stay abreast of OC Remix video game music news.
But if you don't care about anyone but us, you can just skip directly to Twitter and find us at OCR Podcast. Just send us suggestions for the playlist or just chat about cool things.
We also love getting emails at podcast@ocremix.org. We have a couple dedicated emailers that we always appreciate their in-depth and interesting opinions. And if you have anything you want to say to us, check out our email and send in anything you like there, playlist submissions or otherwise.
Yes. And lastly, if you want to find some of the other weirdo things we're making, you can go to our website that is all about the things we make. That didn't come out very well.
Not really.
But it's called whalesorwhales.com.
That's whales, A-R-E, whales.com.
Now let's do the playlist so I can play some Overwatch.
Okay.
The playlist is a weekly collection of recommendations so we can all discover music together. This week's theme is weird music. Ascension Parish from Infamous 2 and submitted by Square Evil.
What the Heck, from Earthworm Jim and submitted by the MDisc Playlist Podcast. Thank you.
What's Your Name? From San Francisco Rush. Submitted by Kyle J. CRB.
Start with a G. Start with a Z. Nothing nasty now.
What's your name?
Spell it. H-I-J-K-L-M-O-B. That's how you spell it. Your name.
Great Bay Temple from Majora's Mask and submitted by Wilson.
Behold the Winged Cathedral from Castlevania Harmony of Dissonance, remixed by Schnabubula, and submitted by Lion Tamer.
Inside the Dungeon from Earthbound and submitted by Mike.
To the Unknown World, from Folklore, and submitted by Sin.
Thank you.
Ten Friends from Earthbound and submitted by Giovanni.
Data from G. Darius and submitted by Carlos.
From Jet Set Radio Future and submitted by me.
Get your bets now, ladies and gentlemen. Four fours to point, mark four. Ace, deuce, crap, 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 mark four. Ace, deuce, ace, deuce, crap, crap, mark four. Crap, mark four. Who wants the hot four? Five wants four.
Check me out, John.
Nine a winner. Got a hot hand. Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. Line takes the heart. You have a shooter and a good one. Coming out for a new point. Get your bets down, ladies and gentlemen. He's a rolling point as nine. Place nine. Place nine. Eight shooting for nine. Five shooting for nine. He's a rolling point as nine. Place nine. Eight shooting for nine. Five shooting for nine. Who wants to come? Six to point.
Check me out, John.
The Way of Cats. From Tales of Zestiria, and submitted by me.
Bye.
Listening to the Overclocked Podcast. Next week's playlist is Blizzard Music. To submit your suggestions or just say it's me, hit us up on Twitter at OCR Podcast, email us at podcast@ocremix.org, or visit us on the forums at ocremix.org. This week's lyrical wisdom:
10-10, you can go again. 9-9, don't fall behind. 8-8, say don't be late. 7-7, destination, heaven. 6-5, so stay alive. 4-3, now it's you and me. 2-1, we're gonna have fun. Say blast off. Hey.